Welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heaven's Devils podcast, Declassified, episode 43, The Bunker Files.
Let's go! Harvey Bunker! Harvey Bunker!
The myth!
Allegedly!
The super soldier.
The super soldier, the Walt Disney conspiracy himself, the Higgs boson conspiracy, all the conspiracies, Flat Earth, Harvey Bunker, allegedly played against Walsall on Wednesday. We didn't see it, so did it really happen?
No. We were working. But Kyrie Irving did tweet about him, so we know it's got some substance to it.
I've been trying to get LeBron to be a fan of FGR for a while now, for a year, last year. Subtweeting him here and there, directly tweeting at him here and there. And
the Ohio connection not working out so well.
Yeah, it hasn't come through yet. I'm not giving up hope though. But
okay.
Kyrie Irving could be perfect because Kyrie Irving is a vegan, first of all. Secondly, he likes soccer. He's a big FIFA player. Thirdly, the man loves conspiracies.
Yes, he does. Yes,
so
he
could be perfect.
He's a straight up flat earther. A flat earther. Yes. So he could be a Harvey Bunker.
Flat earther, anti-vaxxer. He's got it all. So he could definitely be a Harvey Bunker-er. Is that what we call ourselves now? Harvey Bunker-ers?
Yes, we're Harvey Bunker-ers.
I love it. All right. Well, and if we can arrange it, how great would it be to get Harvey Bunker on episode 51?
Oh my God! No, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. We got
it. Let's
do
it, Jimmy.
It's got to be episode 51. That is the area appropriate for Harvey.
Yes, if he exists.
If he exists.
Anyway, Jimmy, how are we feeling? How are we feeling? Other than Harvey Bunker, how are we feeling?
Feeling much better now. I mean, at the time of recording, we've just played our Papa John's trophy match against Walsall. Excellent result. Walsall. Great to see. You know, I know Tony Grau's a big fan of Walsall. But, great to see Jake Young and Maddie Stevens back on the score sheet, back to winning ways. So you got to love that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, me too. I'm feeling good, too. Let's talk about that in just a second. But first, Jimmy, today we have on the pod a man known to bail us out in the first 15 minutes of every game. A man we call our Mackie Ting, Cool Hand Luke, McGoalkeeper. Mickey is on the pod, Jimmy.
So awesome. Like you said, just like he saves us in the first 15 minutes of every match, he also saved us in this podcast episode because, man, he just brought the fire in the conversation, kept it super interesting, super fun. So, man, even on his day off, he's still saving things.
So I was going to say, can Luke McGee keep a clean sheet against the two dumbest guys in the League 2 podcasting business? Stay tuned. So we got Luke McGee, man. Such a pleasure to chat with him. Oh, my God. We talked with him forever, too. It was awesome. Like, so great to get to know him. We recorded a bunch, as you're going to hear, more than an hour. But then after we stopped recording, we kept talking. It was like, it was awesome. It was like he's like a long-lost friend. It was so cool. We met his daughter. We met his wife. So cool to chat with Luke McGee. So, man. Anyway, let's get into the matches so we can get to Luke McGee faster, Shimmy. Since we last recorded, Jimmy, two matches have happened. On Sunday, FA Cup against St. Albans City, and Wednesday night against Walsall, up at Walsall in the FA Cup. No, not the FA Cup, sorry. The Pizza Cup, the Papa John's trophy. A quick recap, in case you didn't see it. On Sunday night, we went to St. Albans City for the internationally televised FA Cup, and spoiler alert, Shimmy, the TV curse continues. Yeah. We suck on TV, Shimmy. What is it about that? Every internationally TV, whatever we've seen, we're awful.
It does not work out for us at the end of those. Yeah, I don't know.
I dread these televised games. And I thought we were going to suck in this one, too, because it was internationally televised. But I thought, okay, we're playing a bit, you know, six-tier team, bunch of part-time footballers. We're going to be bad, but our bad is going to be good enough to win, at least.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, Shimmy. So first, Electric, electric atmosphere, Shimmy. Electric atmosphere.
Yeah. What was about those small grounds, man? Those small grounds.
Yeah, man. It was jam-packed. I caught the FA Cup fever. An awesome little tree-lined Clarence Park that was just absolutely packed, like you said, at its 4,000-person capacity. Such an amazing, amazing electric environment. Under the lights, beautiful. St. Albans, a six-tier National League South team whose players are part-time footballers, Shimmy. Part-time footballers, part-time normal working people like you and me, Shimmy. There was a postman on their team, an engineer on the team, a personal shopper on their squad. Oh, Shimmy.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah, well, what does a personal shopper do?
You know, I don't know. It could either mean they get your groceries for you, or maybe they get all the unmentionables. Like, so you don't have to get, you know, like...
like embarrassing stuff.
Embarrassing stuff. Like they're willing to take the hit. They'll be seen with it in public, so you don't have to be. So it's either that, or I don't know. I think that's it. That's my guess.
Okay. I love it. Well, anyway, this group of engineers and postmen and personal shoppers smoked us, Shimmy. So on to the match. St. Albans on a 14-game unbeaten run.
Wow.
But the first few, we hit them at the wrong time. We came in at the wrong time. But, Shimmy, surprisingly, in a crazy turn of events, the first 15 minutes was all us, all for a screen. Not what we're used to.
Maybe that was the upside-down aspect of the match.
Exactly.
We got the first 15 minutes, but kind of stunk up the rest.
Exactly, yeah. We were dominant that first 15 minutes, just controlled all the possession, always on the attack, and just kept knocking on the door until finally the 18th minute, a beautiful Nicky Cadden-Cross found our boy Matty Stevens for his 10th goal of the season. All that man does is score goals, Shimmy. 1-0 to the Rovers. And then at that point, I'm thinking, Shimmy, this might be 5-0, 6-0, maybe even 7-0 when it's all said and done. I think we're going to run away
with it. That's how you get LeBron on the show. That's how you get LeBron on the show. You have to keep using
that
phrase.
Right.
Not 1-0.
Not 1.
Not 2-0.
Not 3-0. Yeah. But I was wrong, though, Shimmy. And just as LeBron was wrong, I was also wrong, Shimmy. Goals
from
Mitchell Weiss.
Seems to be a trend from Ohio. Shout out to Ohio from a Michigander.
Hey, we got some big games coming up against your people, Michigan State, and against Michigan coming up soon. Anyway, away from college football, back to the real football, the sport actually played with your feet. Anyway, Shimmy, I was wrong. Goals from Mitchell Weiss and Zane Barton in the space of less than 4 minutes saw the part-timers shock the League 2 leaders and take the lead. We fought back, though. JMT hit the bar right before half, and then Blackjack Aitchison leveled with a classy run, classy little finish, and right in the first half stoppage time. 2-2 at half, Shimmy, and I'm thinking, okay, no worries, back to 0-0. Second half, fresh start.
Our quality, the gap in quality will, see us through,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, the gap in quality. Rob Edwards' brilliant words at halftime. We just got to win one half against a bunch of part-time footballer, Shimmy. No problem. Except it was. Because the Saints went marching, Shimmy. Second half, man. Just played better, harder, smarter than us in the second half. Got a goal in the 78th. And that sealed the deal. And thoroughly, thoroughly deserved to beat us, Shimmy. So shout out to St. Albans City. They played awesome. Unbelievable atmosphere. They completely deserved it. Quick thoughts, Shimmy.
I mean, hey, you mostly said it all, and I think a big part of it was our, laxity a little bit. We kind of gave them that goal, gifted that goal. Unfortunately, we had the Kane-Wilson slip. Big Daddy Kane has been so good for us in big matches, had
that fateful slip.
Yeah.
Just a fluke incident. The fateful slip, like you said, cost us the goal.
Yeah, but hey, credit to St. Albans because they took advantage of it, right? Saw the opportunity and took advantage of it. And
that was a beautiful goal.
Yeah, it was, and I feel slightly embarrassed because, again, like you say, the gap in the divisions, you feel, and especially the way we've been off to a flying start this season, you want us to move forward and try to get maybe a special night in the FA Cup if possible, because you feel so great about this group of guys with under Rob Edwards and Richie Kyle, but it wasn't to be, man. But hey, happy for the fans that were there at Clarence Park. And give it up to part-timers. It's kind of like, I don't know if you're if a Fly to the Concords fan or not, Nathan.
Part-time old show. Lover? Wait, no.
You can be a part-time model. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. It's like, the most beautiful girl in the room.
Yeah.
And on that day, St. Albans was the most beautiful girl in the room.
In the and whole so, wide room.
The whole wide room. So thoroughly deserved.
But you probably have to keep your, what is it, day job?
Yeah,
or you
day
have
job,
keep your
yeah.
job too. Anyway, right. I'll play a little clip of that. Actually, I think we've played that song in this show before.
You're so beautiful. You could be a part-time model. You'd probably still have to keep your normal job.
Part-time. We'll bring it back.
I don't know when or why.
Bring it back. But it's a
bang. I feel like we've played part-time model. But yeah, the part-time models beat us. And if I were a neutral fan, I would have been ecstatic because you love to see the upsets.
Yeah,
but,
definitely. If we get Tails on, that's gonna have, we'll have to bring it back whenever.
Taylor Allen could be a part-time model. I love it. All right, when we get him on, that'll be the theme song to the entrance too.
All right.
Anyway, Shimmy. Oh, one more thing we forgot to mention. Shout out to Shane Healy, club photographer who brought a little cutout of our FGR. Not our FGR. What's the name of this stupid podcast?
What is our name? The Heavens Devils podcast, Nathan.
That's it.
We repeat it like at the beginning of every episode, so we don't forget it.
That's right. Although sometimes we may like to forget. But anyway, shout out to Shane.
Oh, that was so cool.
So cool. So I guess nobody knows what we're talking about unless you were on Twitter. But Shane had a little cutout of our logo, and he put it on like the official FA Cup first, like the little sideline. What do you call that? Board. And then he put it like where the official ball is. It was so cool.
Yeah, like right by the pedestal that's holding the official game ball.
Yeah, that was so cool.
So wild.
And then during the match, you could see it. You could see it on the TV in the background when you saw him in the background. It was so cool. Yeah. So big shout out to Shane. That was awesome, man. That was
super cool. But given the result, that might be the one and only time.
Yes,
we may have jinxed it.
yeah. Maybe we're bad luck. Maybe you shouldn't do that again because we lost to a team two tiers lower than us. But if you want to keep doing it again, we're gonna support it because it was so cool for us.
So, yeah, it was awesome for us to see it. Even that once, it was just great for us to see. Man, we were so excited.
Yeah. Anyway, Shimmy, we put that behind us. Bad days happen. Embarrassing losses happen, Shimmy. That's life. The true test, Shimmy, is what this is how this team responds. That's going to tell us what this team is made of, Shimmy. How they respond on Wednesday night, Shimmy. They have to travel again, this time to Walsall. How's that boy, Tony Grohl, say Walsall, Shimmy?
I don't know. Let me check with him. Tony, it's... Oh, yeah. I love J'adore Walsall. He likes it.
We head to Walsall for the Papa John's Trophy, and the boys responded, baby. Two goals from Matty Stevens. All he does is score goals. 11th goal of the year, and young Jake Young with a ridiculous top bins goal, making it 2-0, and that's how it will end. By the way, Luke McGee mentions and actually talks about young Jake Young's finishing in our little chat coming up. He says it's either always top bins or it's a mile over the goal. But anyway, and then
wonderful.
Allegedly,
I mean,
Shimmy.
If we were smart, we could have had it be foreshadowing, but we're not good at storytelling. so you'll hear about it after he scored the goal, and after
That's
we
true.
Talked about it here. So.
but anyway, that boy, young Jake Young, on you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him. Matty Stevens, man, just keeps scoring goals. You'll love to see it. And allegedly, Shimmy, as you mentioned at the top, Harvey Bunker, noted conspiracy. Harvey Bunker, associated with the Higgs boson controversy, associated with a Walt Disney Frozen movie, / is Walt Disney the person actually frozen and not dead? Harvey Bunker allegedly played. Did we land on the moon, Shimmy? Is the earth flat, Shimmy? Shimmy, we were both working, so neither of us saw the game.
No.
So did it even happen? Did it really happen? If the earth ain't flat, Shimmy, how do you explain a map? Shimmy, which are flat.
True.
And if Harvey Bunker ain't a conspiracy, how do you explain the name and the fact that we've never actually seen him play, Shimmy?
Yeah, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, but we're not there to hear it. If Bunker plays, but we're not there to see it, can he exist?
Can he exist?
They say we can never know. We'll leave it at that.
We actually might have a little news on the Harvey Bunker front too, but we'll stay tuned for that. Not as exciting as him coming on the pod, although we hope that happens someday. But other news related to Harvey Bunker that we might be excited to share if it actually happens. Anyway, big response from the boys. That's exactly what you want to see. That's what you want to see after a crap game that we had in St. Albans. So big shout out to Rob Edwards. Big shout out to Richie Kyle. To all the players fighting the resilience to bounce back. And now the boys are enjoying a little 10-day break, Shimmy. A little 10-day break. Well deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. But not playing again until the 20th, right?
Yeah, November 20th against the Hartlepool, Hartlepools. They say Hartlepool, but it should be Hartlepool, right? So we won't have a pod next week.
The boys, right? The Hartlepool boys.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, the Hartlepool swimmers, the Hartlepool pool boys. Their little logo is like a boat steering wheel. What do you call like a steering wheel on a boat?
Helm,
like an old-timey boat? The helm. There you go. The Hartlepool Helms. The boat boys. Pool boys. Anyway, we'll figure out what their nickname is closer to that match. But yeah, no match until the
20th. Call them Mayo because they're the Hellmans.
Let's go, Shimmy.
That's
the Mayo.
Yeah, that's an American condiment joke. So I don't know.
No, I think Hellmans is everywhere.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it's in the UK. I know that it's in when I lived in Greece. They had Hellmans everything, like all the American sauces, like barbecue sauce was Hellmans. They had mustard Hellmans over there, but it was terrible. I have to say, there's no barbecue sauce like American barbecue sauce. Hellmans stinks. Anyway, but I love the nickname, Shimmy. Love the nickname.
Perfect.
All right, and we're gonna take our own little international break. We won't have a pod next week, mainly because I'll be in upstate New York for a wedding, but also because there's an international break, no match. So we'll be back the next week to get you ready for the Hellmans, the Mayo boys, the boat boys, the swimmer pool boys. Anyway,
you're gonna bring back some of that buffalo sauce, as it were, to make it a saucy pot.
I love buffalo sauce, man. I can't eat any of the wings, but I will steal some sauce. Bring it back with some of these cauliflower
shots of buffalo sauce. That's what you're gonna do.
Yes, I would. I love buffalo sauce, man. That's another thing I don't think they have really anywhere in the world. Anytime I've had it overseas, it's like it's awful.
True.
Oh, you can only get. I don't want to be a nationalist here, Shimmy, but barbecue sauce and buffalo sauce. You only get them here in the U.S., Shimmy.
It's not even nationalist. I feel like the further away you get from Buffalo, even the United States, like it's difficult to approximate. Something about being buried in snow, like 7 months out of the year, has crafted that sauce, you know?
That's true. So anyway, Shimmy, let's talk quickly about the women. Unfortunately, we don't have our man Statman Chris Latham on this week, just because we forgot to message him and say, "Hey, Chris, can you come on?" So we don't have an update, but I know that the women lost to Ilminster. What a name, Ilminster, 5-2. You might be able to hear the siren in the background. New York City charm, baby. We lost to Ilminster, 5-2. We're not. Oh my God, this siren! Do you hear it?
Yeah, I hear it now.
Anyway, it's crazy loud in my ears.
The siren is there. I'm glad the siren's there because I feel like we need a little bit of clarion call for people to kind of support the women's squad. I feel like
there
you
we
know,
go.
About a month ago, it's like we had all these posts on social media from like the men's players, and I think the club was really pushing and doing it. And I feel like it buoyed their performances a little bit. We had some great performances. The goals were going in, and you know it's a season, right? So you're gonna have your ups and downs. But man, we just love to see more like support for them, and hopefully they can bounce back just like the lads did.
Yes.
And the Papa John's trophy. But man, just want to, I would love to see kind of more support for them and some more, amplification.
They will have the opportunity to bounce back, and our fans will have the opportunity to bounce back and support them because the next match is at home Sunday, November 14th against Marine Academy Plymouth. So shout out to that. Get out there 2 p.m. at the Chalford Sports Club. 2 p.m. kickoff, free entry. Get out there. Go support FGR women's team. Help them bounce back. We're on a two-game losing streak with them after, like you said, we were soaring. So they need the support to get them back on track. So get out there. Go support the women's team. And still working on trying to get some guests from the women's team. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon, hopefully. Shout out to Chris Hicks and all the players. Jimmy, you have what we were saying?
No, that's it. No, yeah, just shout out to them, and also saw Chris Latham boost the Sports Direct kit is out there, so I think you can order the FGR women's kit as well. So I was thinking that might be a great holiday gift to myself.
To myself, I love it. So all right, I love that. All right, Shimmy, let's move on to the man, the myth, the legend, our Mackie Ting, Cool Hand Luke. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Such a pleasure to talk to McGee. Such a chill, chill conversation. Learned a lot.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome chatting with Luke. Awesome getting to know the man in goal. As cool as he is on the pitch, he's also just as cool in the chat. So let's get to our boy Luke McGee. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think he enjoyed talking to us marginally more than eating 50 hard-boiled eggs, but you judge for yourself.
We welcome to the pod the man who bails us out every match in the first 15 minutes when we suck. He stops shots from the world's scariest strikers, strikers like Harry Kane, strikers like Jamil Matt. He is the current club, current supporters club player of the month. I don't know. Did you know that yet, Luke?
Oh, crap.
I shouldn't tell you that. Well, by the time this pod comes out, that news will come out. So anyway, we'll ask you a question about that later. But surprise, you're going to be the player of the month. The fans have voted. Anyway, he does not like having cling wrap on his vehicle. Some call him Cool Hand Luke because of his ability to have impossibly cool hands under pressure. And his name is Luke. And Cool Hand Luke is a classic American film from the 1960s. So it all works together. Some call him Mackie Ting. He's our Mackie Ting. Others call him Luke, Mick Goalkeeper, Mickey. Welcome to the pod. Luke McGee.
Thank you very much, guys. It's good to be here. Finally getting on after all these months.
Yes. Oh, yeah, so man. Happy pleasure to find. Yeah, to finally have you here, to finally get to hang out with you, meet you. So how are we feeling, Luke?
No, I'm good. I'm excited, obviously, to chat to you guys. All good things coming from the boys that have spoke to you already. So I'm excited to get into it and see what random stuff you come up with as well.
Well, how do you know?
Hope you have your takes on Brexit and world politics ready, because that's all we ever cover on this pod. So.
You said you heard good things from the other players, but how do you know they're not pranking you? Then this is going to be like the worst hour of your life.
Yeah, to be fair, well, Sleans was one of the people that told me that it was a good laugh and it's nice and relaxed to be on here. And does he ever tell the truth? Is he ever serious?
Oh, I love it. Well, actually, let's go with that. Let's go with Sweens, who we believe was maybe the main assailant behind the infamous cling wrap incident. Can you walk us through that? Walk us through what happened there. We've heard various accounts from different assailants, but we know Sweeney was, you know, the spearhead behind it, as he always is.
Always. He's just, I don't know whether he's ever been officially diagnosed with anything, whether he's got an actual attachment to anything, but the guy just cannot sit still. He can't go a day. Yeah. Just like, you know what, I'm going to have a duvet day, or I'm going to relax today and just do nothing. Yeah. I don't think he's ever had one of them days, ever in his life. We've come in from training, and I think I was with Stokesy at the time, and we've come walking out, and I'm looking at my car, and I'm thinking, my car was definitely black when I parked it, and it's not black right now. I looked around the corner, I've looked at Stokesy, and he's just started absolutely wetting himself laughing, so I've slowly walked over. And do you know what? If it would have taken me longer to unwrap it, I think I'd have been angrier. But it probably took him at least 10 minutes to wrap the whole car, and it probably took me 15 seconds to take it off. So it's enjoyable, but you have to look at whether it was worth their time, and it probably wasn't.
Fair enough.
Well, that's probably true of most pranks. The setup, time is... But I love that. Oh, that's great.
He seemed to have a pretty good like take on it. You know, I was going to say, if it's too traumatic, we could change your name on the podcast to Mook Legee. Just to protect you, you know.
There we go.
That's really, protect your identity. Really, it does cut really deep, but I'm just trying to play it off like I took it really well.
I love it.
You never look at a Tesco sandwich the same again. It's all like grand wrap.
Speaking of nicknames, by the way, have you heard of the movie Luke?
I've heard of it.
Oh, did you lose me for a sec?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched it. I've definitely heard of it.
You've heard of it. I got to give myself credit here. I want to be a humble guy. I'm usually a humble guy, but Cool Hand Luke, Sham, you know, that's a good nickname, right?
It's a great nickname. Yeah, it's perfect.
I got to say, I'm very proud of that one. I came up with it like minutes before you came on. It just hit Cool Hand Luke. Yes, perfect. Nice. Perfect.
And it's a perfect for a keeper too, because the famous line from that, it's basically a jailhouse movie with Paul Newman. The actor Paul Newman, and the guy that runs the jail, he kind of punishes the prisoners a lot, and he says, "What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Communicate. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
So that's a perfect keeper line for you to tell your defense if they ever leave you out, out to dry. So you can use that one.
Yes, the next time. The next time, yes, they leave you out to dry, that you should say that. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Anyway, also, you may notice a little something on our heads, Luke. Do you see what's on our heads? That's in honor of you, Luke.
Oh, honestly, how bad is that?
So, that's for our listeners. We're wearing hats. Mine is a little bit more similar to what Luke was wearing than Sean's, but we're wearing hats in honor of you, Luke. Bradford City, you wore the hat. Old school. You know, generally, you're a good-looking dude. You're a stylish dude. You usually look very cool. Great hair. But this was not a good look for you, Luke. Let me just pull up the picture real quick, just to remind you what it looks like.
Now we are
talking
on traumatic events. Now you really are.
Yeah. We told you it's going to be an hour of fun.
That's right. So you got to admit, you did not look cool there, Luke. Oh, and I think part of the problem, too, is you were wearing like this. It was a generic, like, black, unbranded hat. No logo. You just kind of look like a stock photo of a man wearing a hat, or like a stalker in like a really low budget, like made for TV movie. Where did the hat come from?
It was, do you know what? So we warm up one end of the pitch, and I can see that their keeper is absolutely blinded by the sun. And I'm thinking to myself, he's got to put a hat on, surely. Like, he can't see a thing. So I said to Jammer before the start of the game, I was like, we're not changing ends, are we? And he obviously either didn't hear me or he's in the zone, whatever. No worries. And then all of a sudden, the ref gives it that one. I'm like, what are we doing? He went, no, we're swapping ends. Don't worry. So I was like, oh, no. So I ran down the other end. And instantly, within about 2 minutes, I've run over to the bench. I'm like, please, someone give me a hat. Someone give me a hat. I'm one of the videos, Wezzo. When I say that this hat is glued to his head 24/7, it reminds me of, I can't remember his name. Remember the dad in Matilda when they glue the hat to his head?
Yes.
God. And you know what? And he'll batter me for it, but he's got a nice little chin strap beard, a little bit of hair on the side, nothing on socks. Almost as if he had
a tactical hat. A tactical hat, baby.
And at the time, I thought, I'm probably not looking great here, but like you said, not the worst looking lad in the world, so I should be all right. And then I saw the pictures back and thought, wow. Him.
Hey, listen, you're making the Nathans and Shams of the world feel a little bit better. Okay, guys.
That's right.
You can't look like that all the time. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There you go. I like that take. You said Jamup is the one who put you in the sun, which is, by the way, when they scored our goal. So should we put that goal on Jamma?
It was mentioned to him, but he did come back with a very, very good point and said that they are usually very strong going into their fans in the second half. And he said, well, we didn't concede in the second half, did we? So it was a good point he made. And
all right.
On it wasn't a bad decision, but it would have just been very nice to have known.
That's great.
But it's okay, we have a good reason. Your star has been shining so brightly, Luke, at the beginning of the season, saving us in so many matches, quite literally, that we had to rock it. So that's why we're rocking it, so your star doesn't blind us.
I appreciate it. You both look good, don't worry.
Thank you. So how important is it to look cool while you're playing goalkeeper, Luke?
Do you know what? It's every single time we have. There's a guy called Shane. Sorry if I got his name wrong, but I think it's Shane. He, after every game, normally 8, 9 o'clock at night, he puts all of our photos into this app called Dropbox. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but as soon as that comes through, everyone's like, right, where am I? Flicking through it. And I don't think there's ever since I've been at Forest Green, but he only ever gets pictures of me, A, in the warm up, and B, honestly, the faces he shows. And he gets horrendous every single time. My wife's looking at me. Why are you doing that face again? Look at your 11. You've got really bad 11. You've got this. Oh, every single time, there's not been one good photo of me ever playing football.
that's not true. There's some good photos of you out there. Like I think actually the one we used in the promo, the first one we used in the promo was a good looking photo of you.
Yeah.
And so Shane is actually in the Dropbox you're speaking of. We looked through the same Dropbox you did. That's where we found that hilarious picture. But we found another picture in there where you look pretty awesome. Hang on, let me see if I can find it. I think I have it saved on my phone real quick. You looked, oh no, I didn't save it. Hang on, I got you right now. This is terrible audio, but wow, I got a message. No, you look good in this one. I was gonna use it, but the lighting on the other one was better. Where's my guy Shane? Oh, there he is. So you look pretty awesome in that one. In my opinion, yeah. You're like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
That was from Bradford. You look awesome in that one, but the lighting was better in the other one, so we used the other one for your promo pic. But there are good pictures of you out there. What's that?
I'll take two good pictures in 26 years.
So while we're on the topic of goalkeeper routines, the hat, we have a listener question actually from Callum, who asked, why do you put your water bottle on the ground the same way every game? And so this is something I haven't noticed actually, but Callum has, so shout out to Callum. Is that like a superstition or is there like a tactical reason for it?
No, it is purely superstition. Since I can remember, to be honest, it's always been, and people have probably noticed it, past teams have noticed it as well, and there's always been a couple of lads that I've known in the past that have always moved the water bottle because they know how annoying it is for me. It's always a couple of sips of the water, put it next to the post facing out, kick both posts, little jog, couple of jumps, little stretch, ready to go every time. Oh. Yeah, every single time before a match, to be honest.
Wow, so that's interesting. Okay, now I'll look out for that. I had no idea, so shout out to Callum with the good eyes there. So have you ever like been thrown off the little routine and it messes up the whole game for you?
No, I wouldn't say it doesn't actually, like all superstitions, I think they don't actually make a difference. Sure. But it is, there is a little thing in your mind where, and you know who's a bad one for it? Dom Bernard, most corners, will always want to have a sip of my water for whatever reason. And every time, so bear in mind, we've just conceded the corner, we might be winning, losing, whatever it is. And then in that split second where he's having a water, all I can think is, Dom, put it back properly, please. Put it back properly, please. Now, he'll have a sip. Now, as he's sipping, he'll have a little look over to me like that. Like, yeah, where are you looking?
Yeah, where's it going to go?
Every time. He knows how much it frustrates me as well.
All right, so now we can also blame the goals on Dom, because if they score in a corner, we know that he didn't put the water bottle back correctly.
I'm happy with that. Blame everything on Dom. It'll be fun.
Maybe have an origin story for the shorts too. You know, maybe he's just like, gets so hot out there. He's got to air out the quads. He's got to be drinking water all the time. He's doing his best.
Excuse for those shorts, hasn't he? I think every time he tells the story, it's a different one as to why he does it. And to be honest, I think he genuinely just really likes his legs and wants to get them out.
Hey, I can't blame him. If I had legs like that, I would wear shorts like that as well.
Yeah, I'm jealous too, so can't really say too much.
And they get shorter every game. And I'm a little worried at some point we're gonna have to have someone, FGR is gonna have to hire someone to blur that area down there.
Running around in quick in a green slip all the time.
Yes. No league match this week. No league match until November 20th. So far away. A massive break. So what are you going to do with all this time off?
So obviously tomorrow we've got the game against St Albans. And it literally is kind of 5-10 minutes away from where I grew up, so it'll be quite a lot of family playing somewhere, which is quite nice. Another game Wednesday, and then we've got a few days off, so I'm taking my wife, little girl, and dog as well, just down towards I think it's Taunton, it's called, just like in a little log cabin for a few nights, little chill out and a bit of a break, really.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome. That is awesome. Actually, we have a lot of questions about your hometown, about the baby, but we'll bring all that up later. Because first, most importantly, we got to play a game here. We got to kick this off with a little game to see how well you know can goalkeepers. So the U.S. is not traditionally known for soccer or football, although we have a really good young team now. So we're finally getting like some talent in it. But anyway, historically, the only thing we really produced were goalkeepers. So we're going to test your knowledge of U.S. goalkeepers real quick. We're going to play a game of Name That American Goalkeeper where I show you and Sean, you're competing against each other, pictures of American goalkeepers. You got to be the first to name it. This is another classic visual game that's going to be terrible for the podcast format, but we're not a pod known for quality. So, and we're not about to start today. So here we go.
And Luke, you may think I have an unfair advantage because I'm American and follow soccer. So I know these American keepers, but to bounce that out, I am an idiot. So keep that in mind.
To be fair, if I lose, I'll just blame the Wi-Fi.
There we go.
Perfect.
There we go.
Perfect. I'm going to blame Dom Bernard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but spiced it up a little bit too. As soon as you see the player and you name them, you also need to name a food item that you associate with that goalkeeper. First thing comes to your mind. All right, here we go. Name that American goalkeeper. Let me share my screen. Here we go, baby. All right, you can see my screen.
Yeah.
Here we go. Name that American goalkeeper. First one to name it wins. Here we go. First one.
Tim Howard.
Hey, Sean, wow.
Where are you?
Oh, wait. Are we just saying it? First to say it, right?
Oh, yeah. First to say
okay.
it. All right.
Okay, all right.
1-0,
all right,
Luke, okay. if he wow, can name totally. A food item that Tim Howard reminds him of. Go.
Ooh, I'm going to say a lobster.
Lobster, all right. I get that vibe too.
But shout out to Tim Howard from North Brunswick, New Jersey. He has to live in that town for a little bit. So
let's go. All right. I got a little hometown connection with one of these guys too, but we're not there yet. Or are we? Here we go.
Brad Friedel.
Good. I think Luke McGee got you first. Also, I got to move that because it's going to block in a thing. Good. Brad Friedel. From the great state of Ohio, my home state. Luke got it first, I think. Luke,
all right,
give
yeah,
me a food item.
Man.
Plain pasta.
Plain pasta. I totally see that. Oh my god!
Wait,
can I
say my food at least?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sean.
All right. I'll say a grimy potato. Like a potato you're not gonna eat. That's turned all green. You know.
All right. I'm gonna give you a point for that too, Sean.
Hey, all right.
2-1.
Okay. Sorry, Luke. No shout out today. I'm sorry about that.
I like it.
No clean sheet today. The grimy potato was too good. All right, here we go. Next one.
I don't remember this kid's name. But this is from Ladybugs, right?
Close. Not Ladybugs, but Big Green is the movie. A 1995 classic, crappy wow. American kids movie called The Big Green about a soccer team, I think in Texas or something. Anyway, that's Larry Musgrove. Also known as Ham from the Sandlot. All right, so no one gets that one.
So but, and, up, oh. until, up, yeah, up until 1998, probably one of the top 10 keepers in U.S. history. We've changed
food
since
items.
Then, though, thankfully.
Food item. Let's go, quickly.
Oh, I don't want to be harsh.
Don't worry, he's not a listener.
He's probably a lot older now, so I'm just going to have to go straight up for a donut, I know.
Donut, let's go.
Okay, there we go. I like it. I would say the same.
Same. All right, here we go, next one.
Guzan.
Ooh, man. These goalkeeper reflexes are killing me, Luke. It's like they're coming right out. He's got this goalkeeper reflex. I have no chance.
I'm just seeing him quicker.
No, that's why he's the best goalkeeper in the game, baby. The reflexes. All right, Luke, give me a food item.
Oh, stocky round jacket potato.
All the bald guys are potatoes. I love it. Also, all these keepers have been bald too. Shout out to the bald community. Yeah. Who, by the way, our last guest, Carl Winchester, completely turned his back on by getting hair transplant surgery. But anyway, we won't talk about that. Here we go. Next one.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
is that Sam Sasquatch?
All right. I can't believe neither of you got this.
On top of
Bigfoot, that's Ben Lambis. He was the goalkeeper of my 7-year-old soccer team when I was 7 years old. He was our goalkeeper. Shout out to Ben Lambis. That's Gordon Walker also. And that's Bigfoot. Little known fact, my hometown, it's a hillbilly town, if you can't tell by my friends here. But it's also the home of the annual Bigfoot Festival, and allegedly Bigfoot lives there. But anyway, shout out to Gordo. Shout out to Ben Lambis.
Allegedly,
no one got
Bigfoot
that one.
Bigfoot lives there. What the heck? Yeah. What the heck, Nathan? He's like Pacific Northwest. You're saying he's like vacationing in Ohio?
Maybe
that's where his second home is?
That's right, Southeast Ohio. All right, let's keep it moving here. Here we go, next one.
Interesting to see where he's left out.
Zach Steffen. He was... Sorry.
Yeah, you got it. You got it, Sham.
I got it. Sorry, Luke, I had to actually distract you.
It was a Wi-Fi
you.
Issue for Luke.
Wi-Fi distracted Luke.
Well done. Zach Steffen, playing for Man City. Who is playing in the derby right now? What's the score? Is it over?
It's over. Man City won, I think.
2-0, I think.
1-0? 2-0?
2-0.
2-0. Shout out to Zach Steffen, baby. All right. Sean, you got it first. Give me a food item.
I'm going to say broccoli.
Broccoli. I like it. I can see that. All right. I can see that. Here we go. Right. Last one.
Wait, is this a team shot or a mug shot? What?
Where is this picture coming? It looks like Waggy with the beard, doesn't it?
It does look like Waggy. Y'all, maybe this is Waggy's long-lost cousin. All right, I actually forgot this guy's name. Crap. I think it's Danny Vidiola, the goalkeeper for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, baby. All right, no one got that one, but I will take the Waggy reference. So I think the final score was Luke McGee 3, Sham 2. Well played, people. Well played. I'm very impressed with your food references too. You guys were good at that. Very quick. All right, back to business here. So let's get to know our goalkeeper. He's not American, but we love him anyway. Luke McGee. So Luke McGee, two truths and a lie. What do you got for us? Oh, you know what? Wait, while you're doing it, despite what's that?
This honestly took me a lot longer to think of than I thought it would when you first asked me.
All right, wait one sec, though. So to spice this up a little bit, we're going to play music in the background. And Sham and I got to dance while we guess.
Oh, we do?
You hear the music? The music?
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
All right. All right, go ahead, Luke. Sham and I are dancing.
Are we ready?
Ready.
So... I've never watched a horror film from start to finish.
Ah. Oh,
hey.
All right.
Number two, my first ever gaming goal. I forgot my goalie gloves.
Okay.
And number three, I am absolutely petrified of tomatoes.
Petrified of what?
Tomatoes, the vegetable.
Oh, the vegetable. Wow.
Yeah, vegetable, fruit, I don't know.
Yeah.
You say tomato, I say tomato, baby. Okay, so crap, I already forgot the first one. What was the first one?
He's never seen a horror movie.
Oh,
all
horror
the way
movie
through.
The whole way through. Forgot goalie gloves, the first one.
Quick question on the second match, Luke. Yeah,
and no tomatoes.
Is it your first professional match or your first match ever?
My first ever match playing for a team in goal. So I was thinking around 10 or 11, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Oh, Sean, we're not dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Dance, Sean. Dance. All right.
It's the thinking
so let's
dance.
See. Man, those are good ones.
Those are good. Yeah, they're all very plausible.
I think the second one is true. They're very plausible, but also fascinating. Yeah. I think the second one is true.
I'm going to say the lie is that you're afraid of tomatoes. I don't see you being afraid of anything that could be hurled at you. Like, I think you just would swat it away. Like, I, you know, maybe you don't like tomatoes, but I don't see you being afraid of them. So I'm going with the tomatoes. That's my guess.
So I was thinking that too, but Tom Brady also hates tomatoes. He's also afraid of tomatoes. And look at his career. And I think Luke McGee's going to have a long Tom Brady-esque career. So I'm going to go. Actually, I don't know. I think the horror film one is true because I am that too. I hate horror films. I'm going with the tomatoes too. What's the lie?
The lie is that I'm absolutely petrified of tomatoes.
Oh, we got it! Let's go!
Wow.
Okay. Nice. So wait. Tell us the story behind the other two.
Well, firstly, the lie. It is a lie for me, but it's one of my best friends, Ollie, is honestly petrified of the sight of it. If you take it within a yard of it, see how people are scared of dogs and they'll turn around and run off. He will honestly do that at the sight of a tomato. So,
how does your friend Ollie feel about ketchup then? It's like tomatoes that have been absolutely destroyed and contained within a prison of glass. Is he okay with ketchup?
I think he absolutely loves it purely because it's A, destroyed a tomato, and B, tastes really nice.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect with chips, right?
Yeah, lovely.
There you go.
I love it. Okay, and I love that one. So that's going to look really good on Wikipedia page. Luke McGee is not afraid of tomatoes. All right, and so what are the two that are true? So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've never watched a horror film from start to finish. I'm not even going to try and act as if I'm a this brave, macho kind of guy, because I am just petrified of horror films. I don't understand why anyone would want to sit there for 2 hours on the edge of their seat, scared. I don't understand it.
Luke, I'm 100% with you, man. I hate horror films. I hate them. I'm with you. Like, why? It's not entertaining. And it's just, yeah, I'm with you, man. 100%. 100%.
There's no fun in it. And the worst bit is, as well, my wife loves them. So we've never sat that much ever.
Oh, Shama, are you a horror film man?
You know, it kind of depends. Like, they have the different types of horror movies, right? They've got, like, the slasher ones. They've got, like, the the super gory, like, demon ones. I think some of them are a little too intense for me. I'm kind of a scaredy cat. But I do like kind of thrillers and stuff too. So
I like thrillers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, I'm with you with the thriller stuff, but it's just like, the scaring for scare's sake without anything, anyway, without like any mental, any cerebral part, without any entertainment, without any laughs, get it out of here. I'm done. Anyway, all right, I'm with you, Luke McGee. And what's the second? The second one was the goalkeeper gloves. I love that. Tell us that.
So up until 10, never played in goal. Went in goal. I think the goalkeeper for my local team was injured, maybe. So I jumped in goal, and that was the day I got scouted. So they said, like, come along, play a game for us. So it was the first ever game where I was playing for Tottenham under 10s. Turned up to the game, obviously couldn't wait, buzzing, got my dad with me.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper coach has come up to me and gone, right, we'll go outside and warm up. So I've put my boots on, gone to walk out. And he's like, well, where's your gloves? Never played in goal before. Completely forgotten the goalkeeping gloves. So my old man had to run down to the nearest sports shop 10, 15 minutes away, buy me the cheapest pair of gloves there. He didn't think I'd enjoy it, and bring them down to me. And he's probably spent absolutely thousands on goalkeeper gloves since then.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
What an origin story. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to, that was actually going to be my next question. Like, how did you end up as a goalkeeper? Because actually, Lewis Thomas has a very similar story. When we talked with Lewis Thomas, we asked him, and he's like, he went to Swansea Youth Academy, like, as a kid with the intention of, like, trying out as an outfield player. But he brought, like, goalkeeper gloves just in case. And one of the staff just saw him with the goalkeeper gloves, and they're like, hey, you're with the goalkeepers. And the rest is history. So it sounds like you have a kind of a similar story. That's so fascinating.
Literally exactly the same as just playing for my local team. And I don't know whether it just, I was only 10. The kid just didn't turn up, I don't think. So I went, yeah, I'll go and go, no worries. And that was the one day that a Tottenham scout had come to watch our team or our kind of area. Went up to my dad and was like, oh, he's not too bad. He went, oh, yeah, but... Oh, no, you should see him in midfield. He went, no, I'm not bothered about him in midfield. Like, he can come along and goal. And then never not wore goalkeeper gloves since.
I love it. I love it. I guess it worked out too. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, well, I always have to ask this because I'm always curious because, you know, goalkeepers are traditionally so tall. Like, were you player who got their growth spurt pretty young, or did that kind of come late? You started playing position and then you literally grew into it.
I think I was always on the taller side rather than the shorter side, but yeah, I'd say around kind of 14, 15 was when I really shot up and passed kind of like the 6 foot stage and carried on going, really.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I think it worked out for the best because you don't see a lot of 6'4" midfielders running around.
No,
so I think it worked out.
One to move around anyway.
Right. I think it worked out.
I mean, Peter Crouch's dance move should have proven that for all of them. No, they cannot move.
Not the robot. Not the robot.
They're not going to. Oh. Okay, that's the only dance move I know, so I should knock it.
That and the two-step. I'm a two-step kind of guy.
So St. Albans tomorrow, but actually this pod's not going to come out until after that. So St. Albans City happened already a few days ago, and we obviously won 8-0 with a Don Bernard hat trick. Luke McGee came in midfield like he always dreamed of, scored a goal, got an assist as well. Big win in the FA Cup. But anyway, like you said, it's very close to home. The London suburb of Edgware. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Edgware. So that's where you grew up. Apparently, that's an area with a pretty large Jewish community. So we actually have a listener question about that from Shai Yazdi, an FGR fan in Israel. He asked, and also a fellow Spurs fan, I should say. He asked, growing up in Edgware, did you learn any Hebrew?
I would love to say I did, but no, I didn't. So I was born in Edgware, but I actually grew up in a place called Potter's Bar, which is kind of, I'd say it's about 20 minutes, half an hour from Edgware. It was when my mum and dad were obviously, when my mum was pregnant with me, that was where they were based. They were both always based, North London, Edgware, Barnet kind of way. So that's why I was born where I was. But yeah, always grew up in Potter's Bar, but no, unfortunately didn't learn any Hebrew. So I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce anything along those lines and make a
I love it. So, well, how did you end up a Spurs fan then? Because as a North Londoner, I guess you could have gone Arsenal, you could have gone Spurs, you could have gone Barnet, former club of Sweeney. So, what made you choose Spurs?
Do you know what? I don't actually know. My dad's a West Ham fan. My older sister's an Arsenal fan. So it was probably just can't go with either of them. So yeah. Go with both of them and go for the next nearest one. and then obviously when I then signed for them as a young kid, it was easier then just to grow with the passion with them and support them even more.
Love it. Love it. Sham here is a gooner. He is not a fan of the Spurs.
I'm with Jam on this one, unfortunately. Yeah. I can see why he switched the goal on you.
Yeah, I should have come on the pod 5 weeks ago because I'd have had much more fun with you, Sham.
Things
absolutely.
Are not going well for you right now, but yeah. Sham's happy.
Yeah, how do you feel about the new appointment of Antonio Conte?
You know what? I actually like him. Obviously, I know he's the next Chelsea manager and things like that. But I had a conversation with Moons about this the other day, and it's kind of just he is at the end of the day, he's a winner. He knows what he wants to do. He's obviously got the backing of the board, really. Because I don't think he'd have really been a pushover and come in if he wasn't getting what he'd asked for. So hopefully, come January and come the end of the season, things are looking a lot more positive than they are at the moment.
Hopefully for you, not for Sham and Jamma, but hopefully for you.
Thanks, Nathan.
I don't know if you saw Jamma tried to get a nibble off me last night as well.
We did. So I loved it, and I like your response too.
You can't help it.
Is James Mooney a Spurs fan too?
He is an avid Spurs fan, absolutely diehard Spurs fan. Like, can't say anything negative towards him. Goes to numerous games with his little boy Oscar. Loves him.
Oh yeah, you know, you're right. I have seen him at the new stadium. That's awesome. We've been talking with him for a while about getting him on, and we just got to make it happen. His wife's American, actually.
I didn't know that, but honestly,
and
you'd love him. He is the driest, funniest guy. You would love
him. Perfect.
Let's go. So walk us through your career. How do you go from, you know, little Spurs fan to Spurs Youth Academy to leading the Forest Green Rovers to the League Two title in 2022? Walk us through that journey.
So I was 10 when I signed for Spurs. So kind of all the way through schoolboy era. Last year of school, kind of did half and half school, football. 2 year apprenticeship at Tottenham. So that's normally when you're kind of like just turning 17, going on 18. Signed my first pro at Spurs at 18, I think it was. So I was there until I was 20. So at 20, I went on loan to Peterborough, who were in League One at the time. Was there for a year, came back, and then signed for Portsmouth on a permanent at 21. Played the first year, pretty much every game. Fell out of favour there, so kind of didn't really go my way for a year or two. Went on loan to Bradford when COVID was just starting. So that cut that really short. And then signed for Forest Green, obviously the start of last season. And to be honest, haven't felt this settled in a long time.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful to hear. We're going to ask you more about Forest Green, obviously, coming up. But that's awesome to hear. But first, we got a bunch of Spurs questions, so we got to ask you those first. So first of all,
let me just get my earmuffs on. I gotta hear all this.
They're not going to be positive, Sham. Don't worry.
I'm here for it. Then let's go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm all in again.
So first of all,
What the hell? What the hell's a Hotspur? What are the Hotspur?
You know what? That's a really good question, isn't it? I don't actually. I don't want to make myself look really silly here. I've got a slight idea, but if it's completely wrong, I'll get absolutely battered. So I'm going to plead the fifth and.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll ask James Mooney.
Yeah, and I'll speak
on behalf. Might get you cut if you answered incorrectly.
He probably will. Whenever he listens to this, he's probably sitting in his car right now, gritting his teeth, absolutely fuming, calling me.
Plastic fan Luke McGee. Owner of Tottenham, Dan Levy. Ever met him?
Yeah, met him a few times. He's kind of always, to be fair to him, he was always in and around the training ground. So even when the young lads were in and around it, he'd always make the effort to come and say hello to you.
Nice.
I can't say that a conversation ever lasted more than 5-10 seconds, but nice enough for me.
I can see the old potato/bland pasta food description applying to him too. He built a huge stadium, Luke. You think he's compensating for something?
That tickled me. That's a good stadium, isn't it? I think the best part about it was supposedly it was based off of the Emirates, wasn't it? But they built 1,000 more seats, so
yeah.
Ooh. There you go, Shimmy. Yeah. Have you been there?
It's gonna look that much emptier at the end of the season. Oh, no, I'm just gonna say.
It's getting personal.
Actually, I'm very envious. I'm very envious of the new stadium because I feel like Arsenal tried to be the vanguard of it with the Emirates, and you know they've mortgaged so many seasons of just going on young talent.
Yeah,
it hasn't really come good, but the Tottenham Stadium, yeah. It looks fire. It looks really fire.
Oh, it does. It looks like an amazing.
Yeah, the biggest talking point about it was the beer coming from the bottom of the glass, wasn't it? So that's why I think it caught everyone's attention at the start.
Yeah. Exactly.
So have you been there, Luke?
No, do you know what? I've actually not been there. Since I've been down here, I've not really been home at all, to be honest. So I've not actually been back to watch a game. My nephew goes quite a bit. He's a massive Spurs fan. He's 11 now, so he loves it down there and always FaceTimes me and sends me pictures every time he's there. Bless him.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah, nice. I'm not particularly fond of Spurs. I'll tell you why in a second. But despite that, I really want to go to the stadium because it looks incredible.
Yeah. Would you ever go see an NFL game? Do you think, Mickey? Would you ever go?
Oh
see
yeah, that's now the big NFL spot.
Game. Yeah, I'd love to go and watch it. I wouldn't have an absolute scoop of what was going on. There's way too many breaks and yeah. I wouldn't have yeah. But I'd enjoy it, and I'd probably have a few drinks to enjoy it a bit more.
Let's go.
We've said it before. I think we described it this way in the pod before. And I know like probably a set piece is one of the most frantic times for a keeper because you're trying to get the wall aligned. You're trying to make sure you're focused. You're ready, getting your reflexes ready. But the NFL is basically all set pieces. That's what an American football game is. Like a succession of football, of set pieces.
Which so it might give you a lot of anxiety being a goalkeeper watching an NFL game. You're like, oh my God, set piece. So tech like onoma, sick like cholera. You know what that is from?
I can't say I do. Although you did sound like saying it.
AJ Tracy.
Yes. Tottenham, no, I do not. Yeah, I know the song. You're talking
Tottenham
about.
Rapper, False Nine. A little disappointed you weren't mentioned in it, but my guy Josh Onoma was mentioned in it. You know Josh, right?
I do. Yeah, I've known. Well, from when I signed, I think Josh was already there. He's the year below me, so. Known him since I was kind of 10, 11 years old.
Wow.
Really, really good lad. He was a local boy. He's a Tottenham boy.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. I followed Fulham, as you can tell. And when they signed him, I really, really liked him. I'm a little bummed he's not getting more playing time now. He hasn't made it into the team in a long time, actually. But anyway, shout out to Onoma. Wishing the best for him. But I wanted to go. I'll explain why I have some beef with Spurs. Because as a Fulham fan, Tottenham always stole our players. Moussa Dembele, Clint Dempsey, Ryan Sessegnon. And now they've completely destroyed Ryan Sessegnon's career. Like, where? Like, he was incredible. And now he's, like, nowhere to be seen once he signed with Spurs. So, anyway. But the one thing I will say, shout out to Spurs. Tottenham taught me how to pronounce Cheltenham. Because in England, I learned you don't pronounce the N-ham. It should be Tottenham and Cheltenham. But yeah. Tottenham taught me that's just pronounced num. So you say Tottenham, Cheltenham. Anyway, how close are
but
you
weirdly,
to the...
But weirdly, it's not West Ham.
That's true.
Although yeah. They're two separate words.
There we go. That's it. West Ham. How close are you to any of the other Spurs players? Do you still stay in touch with any of those guys?
A couple of them. I'd say mostly kind of like on a weekly basis. The only one I really speak to now is Kieran Trippier. Who's just
Spanish champion, Kieran Trippier.
Yeah, right? Honestly, can't speak highly enough of the guy. He's just one of the most genuine, lovely guys I've ever come across, to be honest. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, he had a bit of a difficult time last season too, right? It was like the season before where it's like the kind of off the field stuff. Were you able to kind of speak with him during that period when he was kind of going through it a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what? It's one of those things that I think everyone kind of goes through, little stages where things either aren't going fantastic on the pitch, off the pitch, whatever it is. Everyone kind of has different things, don't they? But he's, like I said, he honestly is one of the most humble people I know. So kind of took, I don't think anything really affects him, and he kind of just gets on with it as he is. And I don't think anything really, I wouldn't say bothers him, but he's just so laid back and so chilled. I think he just, yeah, fair play to him.
I can see Diego Simeone loving that about him.
They kind of balance each other out, don't they, you'd think? One's absolutely off the wall with the side, yeah. And the other's really chilled.
So here we go. Next question here. Better Kane, Harry or Wilson?
Ooh.
I mean, I'm going to have to go for the OG, but OG, by the way, means original gangster. If you didn't know, none of you kind of looked at me like you knew I was talking about it. I'd have to go Harry Kane, but like you said, shout out Big Daddy Kane for the last
yes,
on absolute fire.
On fire, yeah. I'm gonna ask you a question kind of related to him in a second, but yeah, he's been a beast. I want to get to another listener question. Chris from WhatsApp, he asked, you were given a squad number at Spurs in the 15-16 season, so presumably you trained with Hugo Lloris and Vorm. What was it like training at that level? What did you learn? And he asked, is it significantly different from League Two, or is goalkeeping no matter what level you're doing it at?
I think session-wise and kind of philosophy-wise, I'd say goalkeeping is goalkeeping, whatever level you're at. But yeah, it's scary to kind of watch them on a day-to-day basis on how professional they are, how on it they are, kind of 24/7, like their life is football. And it's to watch them every day, you do definitely see, even as a 17, 18, 19 year old myself, like at the time you probably think, oh yeah, I've got half a chance here, and then you train with people like that and you realize kind of how far off it you really are, and how much above the level those kind of goalkeepers are. Really, it was scary to watch.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine. That's, man, it's crazy. Like, you know, you've competed with them, you've learned from them. I want to hear about some of your life lessons, kind of that you've taken away from your journey so far. You know, you were Premier League hopeful at Spurs. You end up playing in League One at Peterborough, then Portsmouth. And then I think 2018, 2019, 2019, 2020, you didn't get much playing time in those seasons. You sign with FGR. You become one of the best goalkeepers in all of League Two. You're playing a pivotal role in our incredible start, in our hunt for the title. Carl Winchester said, our last guest, he said, football is just a roller coaster of highs and lows. So could you tell us about that? Tell us, like, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned from your ride so far?
Do you know what? To kind of sum it up in a nutshell, I'd say like you can never, especially in football, you can never ever get too high and you can never get too low with it. Mm. Because when you think everything's going really, really well, no doubt something will bring you crashing back down. And when you think that you're having a stinker or bad run of form, or you're not even playing, but like I've had in the past, and then the next thing you know, an opportunity comes and kind of puts you back on your feet. So I'd say literally it is, you've just got to take each day as it comes. Kind of like you said, started off at Spurs for years and you live in a bubble where you think that every football club's like that, and like the facilities, the food, everything like that, you think is just the norm. And then you go out on loan and you realise pretty quickly that that's not how normal life is and kind of normal football environment is. So yeah, it was Peterborough was a great year for me, I'd say, and then moving to Portsmouth, enjoyed the first year, and then, like you said, kind of fell out of favour pretty quickly, to be honest, which wasn't nice. And then things kind of didn't go my way with either moves or whatever was kind of going on. There was a couple of factors behind it. But I'd say even then, you have to carry on training as if you're going to get an opportunity and something's going to come your way, because it was literally kind of within 2 days they were, right, you're going on loan to Bradford. And then I played 5 games there. Everything obviously happened with COVID. You don't play again for 5 months. And to be honest, football was probably the last thing that anyone was thinking about in that kind of time. And then it's, right, bang, starting next week, you're now going here to start and to start again. So yeah, you can't take anything for granted in football. You can't get too high and you can never get too low and let it affect everything outside of football.
Oh, could you mind sharing what it was like for you to get back to training post-COVID? Like, what was your feeling like getting back to where you're kind of raring to go? It's like, okay, I need this to get back to my career, to focus and get this energy out. Or was it a little bit of apprehension? What was it like?
It was a bit of both, I'd say, because at the time, my wife was pregnant. So it was when no one really knew what was going on still, did they, particularly? So there was a little bit of apprehension behind it, because it was, well, I don't want to get it. I don't want to pass it on to her and to do this, to do that. And then there was that kind of, well, I'm sure everyone gets it. When you move to a new club, even if you know a couple of lads, there's apprehension behind that as well. Because am I going to enjoy it? Am I going to fit in? Like, what are the lads going to be like? It was a lot, to be honest, especially in the times. I had to live in a hotel for a couple of weeks as well. So that wasn't particularly nice with everything going on. And you're trying to keep distance from everyone whilst trying to get to know everyone at the same time. So it was strange, but yeah, thankfully I think everyone at the club and obviously at home here as well got through it.
Well, we're happy that that's the case. And you had just great insight there. You're right. Just like, that's beautiful insight for life. Like, don't take things for granted. Don't get too high on the highs, you know, be mindful that things are going to change. And also, don't get too low on the lows. Be mindful that things are going to change there too. That's the beauty of life. It's always changing. I love that. That's great stuff. So Luke, on to FGR. Why did you decide to come here? Why was FGR the right move for you? Mark Cooper at the time said there was actually interest from some championship sides for you to go to and be like the number two at a championship side. But you chose to come to FGR. Why was FGR the right step for you?
To be honest, it had been kind of, like I said, 18 months since I'd played regular football. So although there was a little bit of interest, I don't think it was very, very solid, to be honest, at the time. But whatever it was, it was going to be as a kind of number two training goalkeeper, which suits some people, doesn't suit others. And I just thought, you know what, it's not what I want. So turn that down straight away. And then the way it started really was Rich talking to obviously a couple of people that look after me and help me out, and it was kind of the way he just sold it. He was straight up, he was honest, he went, this is what we can do for you, this is what we think you are, this is where we think you can take the club and the club can take you. It was pretty much cards on the table, this is what we want to do. It wasn't, oh yeah, we'd be interested in a chat, we'd like this, we'd like that. It was literally selling themselves to me obviously selling myself to Rich and to Coops as well at the time. So yeah, honestly, it was, and I know people say this all the time, but it honestly was a no-brainer after talking to him.
Oh, that's great, man. Rich, yeah, we hear so many good things about, like, we just feel so lucky to have Richard Hughes, because I feel like he's so good at what he does, at finding players like you, finding players like Kane Wilson, finding players like Dokes, Carl Winchester, Jamma. And I feel like you mentioned like kind of the symbiotic relationship there, which is beautiful. Like, look, you're going to help us. We know that you can help us and we're going to help you. We're going to help your career. And I do feel like we kind of have that. You know, you look at someone like Kane Wilson, so much talent, started at West Brom and then somehow found himself falling down through the leagues. Now he's having the best season of his career, possibly going to win, you know, who knows, League Two Player of the Year. You look at Carl Winchester, Same thing, kind of like developed at Forest Green into a top League Two player. Now at Sunderland, just doing amazing things. You look at Jamil Matt. Jamil Matt, 32 years old, huge career. Always been good, but never this good. You know, he's having the best. Also, who knows? He can win League Two Player of the Year. And so I just feel like there's something special about Forest Green that helps players reach that potential that the team, that the club sees in you when they bring you in. Is there any truth to that, or are we kind of like reading too much into it?
Are we projecting our hopefulness?
No, honestly, I do think you've hit the nail on the head with it. It's like starting with Rich, I've not known someone in his position at any other club that kind of has as close relationship with the lads as he does, is as approachable as he is. Like there was a couple of things last year that I felt not even football based that wanted to have a chat with him about, just to A, get a bit of guidance, B, get his thoughts on things. And it literally is, right, yeah, just with the family, I'll give you the bell back in 10 minutes and we'll go through it. And I'm sitting on the phone with him for half hour, 40 minutes. And it's just like it's not just, right, we've got him in the door, we've got Kane in the door, the jammer in the door, right, ER, all the best with him. It really is like anything we can do for you, anything you need help with, guidance, we're there for you really. And that starts with Rich, and I'd say especially this year, Rob, Richie, Dan, the goalkeeper coach, it really is that kind of close bond where I don't feel like anyone sees a divide between any of the lads, any of the coaching staff, anyone like that. It is just so approachable, so hands-on, and yeah, it's personable as well. So you know exactly what everyone wants from you, and you can count on kind of every single lads and every single coaching staff in there.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
That's awesome to hear that as a fan, you know, because yeah, you want to feel like the change room is all together and that these things are in place. And, you know, everyone we've talked to, including you today, Luke, it's just like we get the aura of like, you know what, these players are here for each other. The management is there for the players. And it's just kind of like everyone's working together for the same goal. That's like, you can't hear anything better as a fan.
Yeah.
That is literally it, spot on. We had a meeting at the very start. I think we went to Loughborough for a few days. And Rob literally kind of, I wouldn't say sold himself to us, but it was, I can't remember if I said it to at the time, but it was so refreshing just for him to kind of open himself up to us and be like, this is me, this is my past, this is what I want from you, and this is what I think as a group we can do. And everyone, I think, to a man, bought into that and is kind of putting that into fruition thus far, I'd say.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Rob there, and we want to ask about Rob in a few minutes. But first, I want to go back to Mark Cooper, the manager that brought you in. How would you describe your time under Mark?
Do you know what? Mark, I'd say, is probably one of the best coaches that I've had, really. He knew exactly what he wanted from the team. He knew exactly in his head how he wanted Forest Green to play, how he wanted it to go. Yeah, so I'd say, and up until kind of even January time, we were doing very, very well. And for whatever reason, things obviously then went downhill. But yeah, I think especially the way you could always see with him how he wanted to play. And I think as fans as well, you could see that was kind of his philosophy. And you knew going into every game kind of what you could expect from a Mark Cooper team.
Yeah, and so very interestingly, I guess last season, he seemed to kind of interchange you and Lewis Thomas quite a bit, especially like in the middle of the season, towards the end of the season. And I wonder, like, how important is it for a goalkeeper to have consistency? Like, does that mess with your confidence at all? Or again, is it something that we read too much into?
No, I think if you were to ask any goalkeeper, if you ask me, you ask Tomo, any other goalkeeper, the one thing I think you'd want is consistency and around games. I don't think any goalkeeper could not play for, say, 3-4 weeks, come in and be amazing for 3-4 weeks. I don't think that gives you kind of the chance or the opportunity to showcase what you're about, really. I'd say that up until maybe I got injured last year, didn't I? I thought I was doing well. Tomo came in, did very well, which I then can't say anything about because the team's doing well. Tomo's playing really, really well. And then chucks me back in. I think the first time I came back in was for two games maybe. So it was hard to get a good consistency or a good kind of time to get back into the flow of things. But kind of going off that, Tomo as a man, as a goalkeeper, I can't speak high enough of him. What a guy he is and what a lad and goalkeeper he's. Yeah, get along with him very, very, very well. But just a top man, to be honest.
Oh, that's great to hear. Yeah, we love Tomo too. We've had the pleasure of speaking with him twice. Unfortunately, we still have not got an invite to his wedding, but we love Tomo, even though he claims it's been lost in the mail. Did you get an invite to his wedding?
You're a long way away, aren't you? So I can't, I'm sure it's on its way.
Yeah, it's over the Atlantic, right, as we speak. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, we forgot to ask
Carl.
But hey,
where it comes to work, we're going to be Luke McGee's plus four.
There we go. There we go. If Luke McGee gets invited, we forgot to ask Carl if he was invited, his old roommate. Anyway,
yeah, I think Winnie would be upset if he didn't get an invite. I don't know exactly what he's doing. I think from kind of what he said, it's plans have been put into place, and I think he's well on the way of getting it all booked and sorted.
Okay, so Lewis, if you're listening, still waiting on that invite. This actually comes from Sean Baker. This question, he says, what scares you more, conceding a goal to Mark Cooper's barrow or spiders?
It's got to be conceding a goal, because you don't like conceding a goal to anyone, do you? You don't want to. The more clean sheets, the better, I'd say. We've had a taste for them recently, and we want more. But yeah.
Yeah.
Clean sheet.
All right. Clean sheet, baby. Clean sheet. All right. Let me skip that question. Let's keep it moving here. So biggest difference. What's the biggest difference between Mark Cooper and Rob Edwards so far that you've noticed?
I wouldn't say there's kind of negatives towards either one. Obviously, especially Coops now that he's gone. But speaking purely about Rob, like I said to you before, I just think there's just a feeling that he kind of brings to the club, to the training ground, to the boys, just an air of confidence. Like I said to you, you feel like honestly that if something was happening on the pitch, off the pitch, you could go straight up to him and air your thoughts to him with no worries or qualms about what the repercussions of it or what he's going to say or anything coming back negatively. So I'd say that just on a personable level, not even talking about tactically or anything like that, because I think you can see that tactically at the moment, you can see what Forest Green are about and the way we play and the things he's put into place for us to go with. But yeah, purely if we're talking management styles and as a person, I'd say that I just feel like Rob is just one of those characters that, yeah, you can't speak highly enough of, and is a very, very grounded, down-to-earth, humble guy.
Nice. That's awesome. And we see that, you know, in the performances, in the attitudes of everyone. That's awesome. So Sean Baker, another question from our man, Sean Baker. He says, other than Jama and training, who is the best player to score a goal against you? And kind of similar, we have another question from Sam Eza 7, who has a similar question. He says, who's the toughest striker you've faced?
Say the toughest one who scored a goal past me in a game, I would say would be probably be William when he was at Chelsea.
Wow.
yeah, that was an FA Cup game when I was at Peterborough. I think for the first half hour or so, we honestly thought, like, we've got a chance here, we're doing all right. And then, yeah, bang, 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 4-0. And then I wouldn't say toughest, but because it was an end of season tour, I think I was maybe 19, 20, had the opportunity to play against Atletico Madrid when Torres was there. So there's a real good picture of me where I think he's just had a shot or just had a header that's probably going 30 yards over. But in my mind, I'm thinking all about the picture. So I'm at full stretch diving and it looks absolutely unbelievable. So I will get picture and get it over to you.
Yeah, I just Googled it and I see it. Oh, it's amazing. Wait, it's...
Yeah, it was never going in, but I thought I've got to at least make an effort here.
Wait, this is when he was at Atletico Madrid?
Yeah, I think he went back there towards the end, right? Towards the end of his career, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's the picture. Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. All right, we're going to post that later.
And that's why cropping was invented. Just frame that goal, frame the goalpost. You're perfect.
Oh, that's so good. So moving back to, I mentioned this at the very beginning, and you didn't know, so it was a surprise. So, oops, act surprised, Luke. But you have won the fans' vote to be the Supporters Club Player of the Month for the month of October. There we go. Act surprised. Oh, well, no, actually, no. You shouldn't act surprised, because I don't think we're supposed to break the news to you. So act like you know this already.
I've heard that. Yeah, someone said that to me.
So the question here is from Chris Latham. He asked, what does that sort of recognition from the fans mean to you?
Do you know what? It does mean a lot, because I do think goalkeepers sometimes do get forgotten about quite a bit. And
sure.
Are the easiest people to come yes. from. So you ask Nicky Cadden his thoughts on goalkeepers, and I'm sure he would spend a lot longer than Kane Wilson's podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about goalkeepers, because he hates it with a passion. But it is nice, and I think especially last week listening to your podcast as well with Bill, the things he was saying as well. I'm not going to pretend that I didn't listen to it and appreciate everything he was saying. So yeah, honestly, thanks to him. And yeah, it's a very nice feeling.
Oh, that's great. And well deserved. I mean, we kind of joke about it, but it does seem to be true. Like the first 15 minutes, like, I don't know what happens, but we don't show up to play except for one man, Luke McGee, who's like bailing us out with these crazy saves. Any of those right, go in, like, changes the game, you know, completely. So I think we're all thankful for you. And I know some of those 3 points that we've earned here and there are like, without your saves, those would not have been wins. So we all, you know, owe a debt of gratitude to you, man. So you've been killing it so far. I hope it continues. And I agree with you. You know, right. Goalkeepers are the easy scapegoat. Don't get all the credit, but I'm very happy to see like you are getting the credit you deserve after these performances. So, and yeah, Bill, like I said, Billy Hunt shouted you out as so far you're his player of the season, and I think he's right, because again, just like of course Kane Wilson, Nicky Cadden are playing like out of the out of their minds. Jama is scoring and assisting every game.
Don't forget Maddie Stevens too, playing really well.
Maddie, exactly.
In the beginning of the season.
Oh yeah, we have so much talent on here. Ibu, as always, defies physics and makes these crazy tackles. But all that would change if Luke McGee's not in net making those saves in those first, in the first half that keep us in the game, so that then we can later dominate. So it's a great shout by Billy, and I think it's well deserved. Now another question actually from Chris: Is there much difference in the goalkeeper union, whether there's two or three goalkeepers on the books? Does that change the dynamic at all?
Not really. I think we've got obviously me and Tomo at the moment, and then we've got a couple of young lads that train with us, usually at least a couple of times a week. So we got Clappy and Dylan, two lads who are kind of complete polar opposites when it comes to goalkeeping, physiques, everything like that. So that's it's good to watch them too as well. So I wouldn't say it changed the dynamics, but it does make it easier. I mean, there's some days where me and Somo come out, say like on a Tuesday, where we know it's going to be a tough session. We've not got a game, and we see one of the young lads on the other side, and we're like, oh yeah, a little bit more rest, a little bit more time between sets and things like that. But yeah, you know that when there's more goalkeepers, you get a little bit more rest. But and the goalkeeper coach loves a shot, loves just smashing balls absolutely. You know that no matter what is going on in the sessions, at some point there's going to be a few shots, usually from 30 yards, and him trying to hit a wobbler at you.
I love it. Keeping you on your toes, baby. But on that note, who in training is like the toughest guy to compete against?
As in shooting drills or?
Yeah.
You know what? When Youngie...
Wow, I can see this.
Yeah, he hits a good wobbler and a good little dipper. But he's probably also, although he does hit some absolutely lovely ones, he's probably contributed to our fines kitty quite a bit of money. Because if you hit the ball over the goal and over the hedge, You have to chuck a fiver in every single time. And he put a few of them into the year, which 50-50 whether they go top bins or 20 yards over. But I mean, he had two shots a game and scores one of them, then fair play, like the one against Bradford.
When
they go in, they're outstanding.
But exactly, when they go in, they're outstanding. And we forget about the ones that go over the south stand.
Yeah, they don't count. Just forget that.
what's the biggest compliment you can get as a goalkeeper, Luke?
You know what? I'd say just the confidence of being trustworthy. I'd say so. Getting just the consistency of knowing that if you were to make a mistake or two, you've kind of got the backing of your manager that I trust you. What you've done is kind of good enough, and to get that kind of praise, I'd say is the biggest compliment you can get. And each game you play, I'd say, is a positive from the game you played before, because you know that you've kept your place and hopefully doing well. So I'd say that's probably the biggest praise you can get, alongside the personal ones, which are obviously the clean sheets.
Yeah.
Yes. Which we're set. You're second right now in League Two. Last I checked, I think that's still true. Last goalkeeper question here. What's the best part of the job for you? What's the joy in this role for you?
That's a tough question. That, to be fair, I'd say it's literally, as silly as it sounds, it's kind of just the enjoyment of going outside, throwing yourself about, making saves. It's a lot more, I'd say, obviously where you've got the boys, that there might be 18, 20 of them that are looked after by 2-3 coaches, whereas me, Tomo, and obviously the two young lads have just got Dan. So it's a lot more of a close-knit group. Mm-hmm. So I'd say we kind of reflect on things a lot deeper than the other lads would. So you look more into the negatives and you look more into the positives as well. And I'd say you have a lot more kind of banter and a joke between the four or five of you, because you're together a lot more and you can kind of cut a little bit deeper with it all. So that's probably the most enjoyment of it.
I love it.
It's great to hear about that camaraderie among keepers, you know? And even like you're talking about that introspection, a little more depth that you could get. I think we were talking to Tomo earlier too, you know, we had talked about how the goalkeeping position is about seeing the entire game and anticipating and, you know, being ready on your end, also maybe starting an attack or getting the attack, kicking it off, right? So do you view yourself as somebody that, as your career goes on, and you know, goalkeepers tend to play for a longer time into their 40s and stuff, do you feel like you've become a very wizened head when it comes to football, or is it like you said, it's just like, you know what, you just love throwing yourself around, you're in it for the excitement to make that one big stop, or is it a mix of both?
No, do you know what, I would definitely say that, especially this year, I'd say last year, I started to do it a lot more with kind of the help from Dan and coming from Dan a lot more. I just needed to, I'd say, keep my head a little bit more. It's probably the easiest way to put it, and to kind of sit at a more mellow and plateaued headspace a lot more of the time. And I'd say this year is a lot more of that, just kind of if things aren't going great or if someone gives me a terrible back pass, whereas maybe in the past, as it's coming back to me, I'm already thinking about what lovely word I'm going to call them or what I'm going to say to them. Yeah. How it's like, all right, that happens, get on with it and move on, as to kind of just getting on with it. And then it kind of works both ways as well, because I can't remember what game it was. It would have been our last home game. I think someone's passed me the ball and I've opened up, gone to just wrap it into Dom, and I've absolutely smashed it at his knees. And he kind of looked back at me as if to say, like, yeah, all right, I've given you a few of them, you can have them back. So it works both ways. If I'm not losing my head and going mad at them, then I kind of tend to let you off a little bit more as well.
Right. Oh, that's nice. Cool. And can we get a little bit of interest? But, you know, a quick follow up. It's kind of like, you know, we always see the keepers after even the smallest mistake. It's just like, you know, like getting into the players and stuff. Like, you know, I'm sure there is a kernel of sincerity. Like, you want the game to go better, you want everyone to be more focused. But how much fun do you have with those? When you get to like yell at the boys a little bit and, you know, get your little bit of, getting it out a little, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably easier if someone does make a mistake, but, and to be honest, especially with our team, the mistakes are 99% of the time, they're honest ones. So you don't need to go for the lads, and you know that what they're trying to do is the right thing. You haven't got a couple of lads that are in it for themselves trying to do silly stuff, which then you can really let loose, and you've probably got a bit more of a license to let loose. But yeah, if someone makes a mistake and then you make the save, I think then it's quite nice to get up, have a little moan at someone, let a bit of anger out, and then everyone comes, oh, keep made a good save. But yeah, focus on making the save first and then having a pop at someone. But sometimes
yeah, it's
hard to keep it in when you concede a goal.
Yeah, that's that keeping your cool, like you said, right?
Cool hand Luke, baby. Cool hand Luke. You create a human being, Luke. Well, you and your wife. You create a human being last January. Yeah, I guess it takes two, right? Last January, you welcomed Everly McGee to the world. How has how's that experience of fatherhood? How's that changed you, Luke?
Do you know what? I can't really even explain it. It just brings a completely different... a different kind of way of living into your life, and you do think about things so much. I know everyone says it as well, and kind of before I had Everly, it was kind of like, oh yeah, all right, no worries, yeah, I agree with you. But when you then have a kid and you experience it, you really do kind of realize, yeah, everything that everyone's told me is completely true. And it's obviously not easy, but I wouldn't change a thing for the world. And she, touch wood, is the most amazing baby ever. Sleeps very, very well, eats well, is the happiest little thing ever. So yeah, can't ask for any more from her.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So
happy
man.
To hear that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and congratulations. I know it's been a while now. I guess she's approaching one, but anyways, it's awesome, awesome stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot at the moment about what we apparently have got planned for the first birthday, and I'm not really involved, to be honest. I think I'm just gonna get by the way, on the 17th of January you're coming to this place, so
and you're paying for it too.
Yeah. And just no tomatoes if Ollie's invited.
That's the one.
Catch up a laugh.
I love it. All right, so last question, then we're gonna do a quick teammate talk and then we'll wrap up here. So last question: someday, many years from now, we hope, many years from now, when you leave this club, how do you want to be remembered by all the fans, by all the players you played with, by the staff? How do you want to be remembered, Luke McGee?
I think the biggest compliment that I'd want to be remembered by is how good of a firstly goalkeeper, hopefully, I was. And I think no matter how good you are personally and how good of a season or two season, however long it is, I think you always get remembered by the success you have. So fingers crossed, touch wood, everything keeps going well this season and beyond that as well. And hopefully then can be remembered as being part of a title winning team, maybe two, who knows. I think that's the most kind of the biggest compliment and the best thing to be remembered by is the success you had at the club.
I love that. That's beautiful. And I think you're well on your way. For all of us to remember you that way. Like, as we said, man, you've been unbelievable, lights out this season, kept us in so many games. Without you, there's no way that we would be, you know, we'd have, what do we have, 31 points right now? There's no way we would have that many points. I'm 100% sure of that. So
up to this point in the season, you know, you can't think of FGR success without Luke McGee. We hope that continues for the rest of the season. And you know, hey, let's win League One next year too, right? I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but it's like, you know.
Let's go!
Yeah, you've always got to look forward, and I think that's when we hopefully do what we need to do this season, and then that's the next time.
Let's go. All right, well, let's go to teammate talk, Luke McGee. Here we go, teammate talk. So we're going to ask you a few questions. Sham made a keeper theme, so all these are like goalkeeper themed questions. So we're going to give you a description. You tell us which player matches. Sham, hit him with the first.
Right, so I think we know the answer to this right about before even asking, you know, who is most likely to mess with a keeper's gloves, you know, before a match or, you know, during training and stuff. So I think we know the answer, but I'll also ask this. After you say who it is, who would mess with a keeper's gloves, is there a standard keeper prank that you've witnessed from club to club?
Obviously, it swings without doubt.
Yep. Knew it.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be. You come in from training and you just hear him shouting because either he's done something and he's trying to play the victim, or he's letting everyone know he's done something. One of the two.
I love it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's like a generic goalkeeping practice. If you've got your glove on the floor in a meeting or something like that, someone's always going to try and nick it. But at the moment, if you leave any item of yours, whether it's a glove, boot, bottle, if you leave it around and you leave the room or you leave wherever you are, £5 fine. So when you're in the gym at the moment, there's bottles going missing and being put up on the highest shelf and everywhere. So that's the one going around at the moment.
Oh, I love it. That's hilarious. Well, that you're the only one, actually. You and Sweens, that probably doesn't work for, because you're so tall, you can just go up there and reach it. But someone like my man, Nicky Cadden, he's paying dearly for that.
No, he won't like you saying that. There's been a few arguments going around at the moment. There's three or four lads that are competing for the smallest player. there's even been a couple of like weigh-ins and height-ins in the gym, causing a few arguments. So.
I love that.
All right, here we go. Next goalkeeper related question. Who is most likely to get an own goal in everyday life? That is, you know, clumsy, whatever, put their foot in their mouth.
That's a good question. Do you know what? I'm going to say Kane, purely because he just doesn't have a filter. So whatever he's thinking or whatever's in his mind, it's just bang, comes out. Oh, should I have said that? But then I don't even think there's a should I have said that goes through his mind either, because he just doesn't care. So I think it's just like says it how it is, and yeah, he's straight up. If he doesn't like you, you know he doesn't like you, and if he likes you, then you're right.
Oh, I love that.
There you go. Perfect. All right. So who would you rate, Luke, as the team's sweeper keeper? That is, who's the cleanest? Who takes care of their stuff the best?
Oh, I'm going to have to say Jack Evans.
Evans, a tidy young man.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of sharing a room with him the last two away trips, and he is a pleasure to share with. He is so tidy, so clean. Yeah, lovely. Shirt tucked in all the time. He just looks like a polished young man.
He does. You know, now you say that, I 100% see it. I don't know anything about him, but just looking at him, I'm like, yeah, that's a tidy guy. I like that. It's a good show. So here we go. Who would be the best between the posts? So I guess instead of you or Lewis Thomas, which outfield player, who makes the best postman? Shout out to Billy Hunt.
I didn't witness it, but I'm being told, I think it was last week, I'm being told that Taylor Allen was an absolute joke in between the sticks last week. So
I think
I'd gone in and maybe Tomo was still out, or I don't know if Tomo was walking in, but for some reason Tails decided to go in goal. And there's like a generic, when an outfielder's in goal, they'll always dive and end up falling off the belly, and like, yeah, they might make a play. It doesn't look great, but supposedly Tails honestly had the technique to be a goalkeeper, and you wouldn't look at him and go, he's rubbish in. You actually looked at him and thought he could probably get away with it. So I'm going to have to go with him.
Wow.
Nice. Hey, that's a awesome model and a model keeper as well, apparently.
Yes.
He can pull it off in the photo shoot.
Yeah. He definitely thinks that he's got a lot about him.
yes.
Yeah. He's a confident lad when it comes to looks. Let's say that.
Yes. Wow. Oh, and so the streak is alive. I feel like we've never done a teammate talk, and Tails he comes up every time. Every week he comes up. I love it. He's a character. We got to get him on, because every week there's something about Tails. I love it.
You enjoy it.
All right, Shimmy.
All right. So, Luke, it is your job to prevent the bulge in the old onion bag. But who are you preventing from getting anywhere near an onion bag? Who are you not letting cook at all? Who do you think would be the worst cook on the team?
I mean, obviously, I'm going to say two, actually. But firstly, as you know, Kane is not allowed near a microwave.
Yeah.
Yes.
About the team coach incident, yeah.
I can't even start to defend him with that.
We'll leave it to The Hague.
Yeah. Okay. And the other one, who would I go with? Dokes is a good cook, so I'm going to stay away from Dokes. Dokes is decent, apparently.
It's nice.
Who wouldn't I? Do you know what? I'm going to go Dom, purely because I think his Mrs. Chloe does all the cooking, so I wouldn't trust him on making me a meal purely out of experience.
Yeah, or is it just because that below the apron, he's still wearing the same shorts?
And the beard.
And the beard. He needs a little beard, the beard net, like the hair net. Yeah.
Yes.
I want to see him in that.
All right, so speaking of in the kitchen and cooking, any Gordon Ramsay's on the pitch? Who's swearing up a storm on the pitch? Who's the guy cursing the most?
Oh, Cats.
Cats, yes.
Yeah, not even a question. Like, it's everything.
Shout out, Gordon Ramsay is Scottish too, so the connection is there.
Yeah, there you go. Like, it'll put a cross in. If no one gets there, then you see the hand drop straight away. Or, if it's someone puts a cross in my end and I punch it, even if I'm being challenged by 18 people or there's no one around me, it's catch it every single time. and you can't tell him anything. Like, him and Kane every single day in training, it's just like they both say that the other one nibbles at them massively and they don't nibble, but it's just to and fro for like 5-10 minutes until someone stops it. All the time.
I love it. Okay. I love it.
Okay.
And Kane, we only heard Kane's side of the story, but yeah, Kane told us all about Cat, and just like you said, but we haven't heard Cat's side of the story yet, so it's nice to hear a neutral party.
Well, when hopefully you can get Cat's on, and I'm sure he'll tell you about an incident that happened yesterday that has caused a lot of controversy, but I'll leave that.
Wow, the teaser.
Oh, you
got to
leave us in
it.
Suspense. All right, teaser. All right, now we got to get Cat on.
Yeah, and we have to find a way to also annoy him, because Nathan and I are obsessed with hearing him scream. Like, he screams on the bench.
Orton! Orton Bailey! What are you doing?
You want to hear it.
That's not bad at all.
Nice. All right.
Well, all right, okay, so hit him with the last one.
Last
we got to get out of here.
We kept
Luke way too long.
Yeah, even more than generous, Luke. So here's the last one. We know everyone here loves a clean sheet, including yourself. And we know that clean sheets make clean books. So which teammate are you trusting with your taxes?
Oh, it's got to be Tomo.
Yeah,
it has to be Tomo. I mean, I'm sure, like, don't quote me on this, but I'm sure he's doing a business degree or something along those lines. So yeah, has to be. And I'm sure that A, he'd do a very professional job of it, and B, I'm hoping he'd hopefully get me out of a few quiz.
Perfect. Goalkeepers union, baby. You got to protect one another.
That's there you go. There you go. Man, Luke McGee, Cool Hand Luke.
Hey.
The new nickname, Cool Hand Luke, our own Mackie Ting. Oh, man, Luke, thank you so much, man. This has been such a pleasure getting to know you. Like, so much so that we planned an hour, and it's been now an hour and a half. We couldn't stop talking to you. We actually could go even longer. We cut out a lot, actually, because we're like, oh, we can't keep Luke here for, like,
honestly,
you know, the entire night on a Saturday, but
it's no problem whatsoever. Thankful bad at all.
But man, yeah, this has been awesome, man. Getting to know you. I think the fans are gonna love you more than they already do. Congratulations on the award that you don't know that you've won. Wait, you do know that you've won when this comes out.
Yeah.
Exactly. but man, this has been awesome. So great to meet you. Continued success. Keep absolutely crushing it. Keeping us in the game in the beginning when we suck. And man, it's just been awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Honestly, boys, thank you very much for having me on and entertaining me for the last hour and a half. It honestly has been brilliant.
Hey, well,
thanks.
We'll chalk it up to the dancing during two truths and one lie. But
there it is. There it is. Luke
thank
McGee.
You so much, Luke.
Luke McGee! Oh, man, what a guy. What a chat, man. A super long chat, but I feel like we really got to know him, you know?
Yeah, Chris Latham is the stat man. We got to give it up to Luke McGee. He's the chat man.
Oh, let's go. Chat man. Oh, I love that. Yes, I love that. Oh, I even got to hold him to that. He said he's going to get us FGR goalkeeper jerseys, official Luke McGee goalkeeper jerseys. Because right now, I wore, I guess you couldn't tell because it was all audio, but I wore the only goalkeeper kit I have, which was a Fulham goalkeeper kit. So I wore that during the whole chat in honor of him. And he's like, all right, let me get you a proper one. Let me hook you up. So
So yeah, shout out to Luke McGee. But man, what a dude. What a great guy. What a great guy.
Yeah, man. I felt I learned so much about, you know, we're learning a lot from these players about the journey of these really talented footballers, but, you know, how it's just such an intense sport and you kind of find your own path, you know, between Sweens and McGee, you know, and talking to Winnie as well. Just learning about this has been super cool, you know, like
and
how.
Kane Wilson, too.
Yeah, like, Kane Wilson as well.
Yeah, quite the journey to where he is today. Totally agree. I find that so fascinating. Like the. As Winnie said, you know, the roller coaster of a footballer's career, it's so fascinating to me, and it's awesome that Luke is here. He's thriving, and he's going to be
us
one
first
player.
15 minutes of every match, man. Saving us, for sure.
That's right. Saving us every first 15 minutes of every match. And next year, he's going to be the League One player because he's going to lead us to League One, baby.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. So,
that's
anyway,
the dream. The dream is that he's facing off against his boyhood club at some point. In the near future with FGR.
Yes.
And of course, you know, FGR wins and we smoke them. As a Gooner, I have to say.
Spurs. Yes. So anyway, awesome, awesome. Huge shout out to Luke McGee. Thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. Man, we could have hung out with him all day, but I felt bad. It's like it was a Saturday. And you know, Saturday he had off. We're like, no, go do stuff. Go get away from us. We don't want to ruin your Saturday any more than we already have. But anyway, awesome, awesome, dude. Awesome, dude. So looking forward to meeting him in person, too, hopefully, when we make it out there finally to the new lawn in April, hopefully.
Yes, yes, let's hope, man. Just can't wait. Can't wait to get out of there.
Yes,
see these folks in real life and have them be underwhelmed by seeing us in real life.
That's right. That's right. All right, Shimmy, let's get out of here. Let's wrap up. So no match coming up next week. We don't have a match again until November 20th. For the men's team, that is. The women's team do have a match. So fill the void in your little FGR hearts by going to watch the women's team in Chalford on Sunday. Yes. Go support the women. Awesome opportunity to do it because there's no men's match. Go support the women. Anyway, Shimmy, let's get out of here, brother. Up.
Let's do it. The vegan rovers. FGR.
Anyway, whatever.
We did.
And you know we gotta
praise hail.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We will see you soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.